Technorama episode 520, All Santa's Reindeer.
Good morning, folks. This is your captain speaking.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history.
Tech.
And now, the news.
Tech.
What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Oh my gosh, I can't remember my Bitcoin password. I know I wrote it down somewhere around here.
Over there, in the media corner.
Should have sold when the price was high.
Technorama.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelts and disregard all safety rules. Here are your flight crew, Chuck and Craig.
Hey, welcome to Technorama. This is the show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. If this is your first time joining Technorama, hey, thanks. Guess what? It's a lot of fun.
What?
Hopefully we'll put some fun into your life. Maybe bring some new news that you hadn't considered before. If you are some returning to us, you know what's up. Yeah, and when I said new news, it was like GNU.
Oh, yeah, right. Of course.
You didn't hear
that. We're
going
to talk about Linux tonight.
We appreciate you giving us your time. Either way, I am Chuck Tomasi from sunny Phoenix, Arizona, and joining me on the right coast is Craig Stepp. Correct. How are you, Craig?
It's the correct coast. I think that's what you meant to say. I'm doing great, man.
Neither of us truly on the coast, are we?
No, not really. I'm doing good. Trying to avoid the winter weather that was coming my way the other day.
Yeah, lots of weather you've been having lately.
Actually, I did see a slight bit of sleet and everything, and that was about it. Actually, I don't remember. It's been years since we've had actual winter weather in December. So, whatever that's worth.
There was snow in Atlanta.
There was a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, and absolutely nothing here. I mean, there was snow in Corpus Christi, Texas, which is way down on the bottom.
Well, that's usually crazy. If it comes up from the weather pattern, if it comes up from Atlanta and they got snow,
yeah,
usually we'll get some. But a lot of it does go like to North Carolina, kind of skirts us sometimes where I live. So, no, it wasn't bad. I mean, there was a run on bread milk.
Bread milk? Bread and milk?
Bread and milk. Everybody does that around here. It's like, oh, it's going to snow or get my bread and milk. You go to the grocery store, especially when there's a real snow coming.
And canned goods.
All the bread's gone. All the bread's gone.
What's up with that? You can make bread. Just flour.
I don't know. Actually, that's probably bread and milk are the last two things I would think to actually stock up on. But
milk, I can understand, because you might be shut in for a few days, and being without milk can be a little trying. Something anyway. Glad you're doing all right.
Go do a Google search, South milk and bread, and you'll see what I'm talking about.
Or people of Walmart works as well.
Yeah, whatever.
Let's do the history thing, shall we?
All right, let's do it.
Where's my history music? There it is. On this day in history for December 13th? Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, it's almost here.
Oh, this is the 347th day of the year in the Gregorian calendar. There are only 18 days remaining in 2017. If you're listening to this live, then just add 3 to that. You've got a little while longer. Christmas is coming, people. Straighten up.
The goose is getting fat.
It was on this day in 1577 that Sir Francis Drake set sail from Plymouth, England on his round-the-world voyage.
It was 89 years ago today that George Gershwin's An American in Paris is first performed.
An American in Paris. I have Rhapsody in Blue stuck in my head.
Right.
Anyway, also on December 13, 1962, NASA launches Relay 1, the first active repeater communication satellite in orbit.
Very cool. Also, today in 1972, Eugene Cernan, and Harrison Schmitt began the third and final extravehicular activity, or EVA, moonwalk of Apollo 17. To date, they are the last humans to set foot on the moon.
Eva.
I was just wondering about that the other day.
What, Apollo 17?
Who was 1972? Who was the last person to walk on the moon?
Trivial Pursuit, right there. Yeah. Happy birthday goes out on this day to English chemist and academic Robert Plot, born on this date in 1640.
Born to December 13th, 1662, Italian astronomer and philosopher Francesco Bianchini.
Francesco, but close enough. Franz Epinis, the German astronomer and philosopher, was born 293 years ago today. We are just doing wonderfully with these names tonight.
Oh, wait.
There's
just
more.
Just wait for it. Yeah. Born December 13th, 1780, German chemist invented the Dornbinger's.
Dornbreiner's.
There we go. Dornbreiner's lamp. Johann Wolfgang Dornbreiner.
Hey! You didn't say Johann.
Johann.
Werner von Siemens, German engineer and businessman. He said German. Founded Siemens, was born on that same date in 1816.
In 16th, First Lady of the United States, Mary Todd Lincoln, was born 199 years ago today. Wow, that's a big number.
Other than that, Mrs. Lincoln, what did you think of the play?
Yeah.
One is still one of my favorite lines when people complain. Danish feminist, novelist, and telegraphist, Matilda Fibinger.
A lot of ists.
Fibinger, born on this date in 1830.
That's a lot of ists. And Kristen Birkeland, was the Norwegian physicist and author, was born 150 years ago today.
American mathematician Annie Dale Biddle Andrews, that's a lot of names, was born 130 years ago today.
And born December 13th, 1887, Hungarian-American mathematician and academic George Polo.
I'm going to look into my randomizing thing. I shouldn't have two phrases like that next to each other that are the same.
Oh, I tell you, this randomized
app isn't done yet.
Yeah.
American actor, singer, and dancer Dick Van Dyke was born in the state in 1925. We saw him live.
Where?
At Phoenix Comic Con.
Okay. Also turning 88 today and is Canadian actor, producer Christopher Plummer.
Kapla!
Kapla.
Also born on the same date in 1948, American singer, songwriter, guitarist, and actor Ted Nugent!
Yeah, cat scratch fever. An American actor, Jamie Foxx, born on this date in 1967.
Let's go down the listener birthdays. We did have a week or two off, so I'm going to go back, go in the Wayback Machine and let you know who we missed.
There you go.
Peter, a.k.a. Zipster, from Zip & Co. podcast in Weymouth, Dorset, UK. Let's hope that podcast is still up and running. If not, we're going to come knocking. Two birthdays on December 8th, Dan D. Mann and Gideon, a.k.a. Michael H., Steve Kite, a.k.a. Big Unit 62, was born on the 9th. Decker D, I used to work with that man, on the 12th. Also on the 12th, Kevin Burns, a.k.a. Soul Blaze. Matt Blocker, the Giant, is on the 12th. Rob Reel is on the 12th. Four birthdays on one day. We are awesome. Michael Spence from Brother Osric Scriptorium on the 14th. The 17th is our Patreon patron, Jorga Schrawin. Longtime listener. Phil Burchill is 42 this year in 2015, so now he's 44. 10 years of listening to Technorama, he's celebrating on the 20th. Well, his birthday on the 20th. I don't know when he's celebrating 10 years of listening to Technorama. James Ballard, a.k.a. Karek Sindru, is on the 21st. 22nd is Bo Pace. And two birthdays on the 22nd. Luke Chuck Stalker Smith is now, dude, he's 17 years old.
Did you just do the math?
Yes.
Did you look at a calculator?
Well, he's born in 2000 is what it says here.
I thought that's all you looked down like you were working a calculator.
I looked on my watch.
Oh.
It's a video effect. Get used to it. And okay. Jason Poloni from Tampa, Florida is born on the 22nd. Happy birthday to all of you. And if it's your birthday somewhere, we wish you all the best. Get your name on the birthday calendar because that's how it rolls. And that's how it was on this day in history for December 13th, 2017. On time, on budget, on schedule. That was so much fun.
It was.
We have some awesome listeners.
You know, the other day I was talking to somebody and I mentioned that I've been doing a podcast for, closing in on 13 years now. And he was like, what? Podcast? has been around. There's a podcast that's been around for 13 years.
Several.
I said, yeah, there's several of them. And we happen to be one of them. So he was like, he just couldn't believe that podcasting had been around for 13 years. I was like, oh, yeah, I've got the playlist to prove it.
I'm my original OPML file. You want to see it?
That's right.
All right, we need something appropriate. Here we go.
Who likes good news, everyone? Then good news, everyone.
Why is my page scrolling without any intervention from me? That's what I want to know.
Yeah, it's automatic. They know better.
All righty, let's hopefully this ad won't show up again. Family reveals beautiful experience of Mark Hamill visiting terminally ill boy as Luke Skywalker. Not the terminally ill boy was not Luke Skywalker. No. In the midst of struggle and tragedy, it was those points of connection that make you feel loved and less isolated, says Joe Sikora, whose son, John, succumbed to juvenile Batten's disease. That sounds really nasty.
Yeah, I've never heard of that before. That's a new one for me.
All right, I got to wait for this ad to go away. Darn pop-up ads.
Oh, boy, yeah. Ads.
It was about 8 years ago when Mark Hamill agreed to meet a terminally ill boy who wanted nothing more than to talk to Luke Skywalker in person. The request was a long shot, but Ed Solomon, the screenwriter best known for The Men in Black and Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, had to try for his friend Joe Sikora, whose son was dying of juvenile Batten's disease, JNCL. The Star Wars actor is known for his huge heart and giving to charities, but this particular moment went under the radar. That is until Solomon began tweeting about it on Monday in an effort to combat what seemed like a daily tidal wave of negative news. His tweets were so well received, Twitter made a moment of them, and Solomon was inundated with replies. Even Hamill saw. Heat Vision on Tuesday night. On Tuesday, caught up with Solomon and Sikora to learn more about the emotional, quote, beautiful experience with the star of the upcoming, sorry, Last Jedi. Yeah, because Mark Hamill, he's an up-and-coming star.
Yeah, one day he'll make
it. He's going to amount to something.
Yeah.
Quote, around 1998, my son John was diagnosed with a very rare genetic disorder called juvenile Batten's disease, Sikora says. The disease robs kids of their vision first, followed by cognitive motor function. Oh, this is nasty stuff.
That's terrible.
Typically, kids die in their late teens, early 20s. Excuse me. Oh, I might have caught something there, or it's just the cat.
Bless you.
Okay, it's a complicated disease, and most doctors aren't that familiar with it. So we lived in the moment, did as much as we could. His other son, Ben, also has JNCL.
Oh man,
two kids.
I missed that part. Wow.
Okay, John was obsessed with Star Wars and watching the original trilogy every single day, says Sikora, who is a former Santa Monica police officer and now works as a therapist and hosts a call-in show on Relevant Radio, a Catholic network. He also wrote the book Defying Gravity about his son's condition and the family's experience. Wanting to give his son a special experience, Sikora called his friend Solomon in hopes that he knew Hamill somehow. In hopes that he knew Hamill somehow through his profession so John could meet his hero. Another quote, I had never met Mark, but I called his agent and asked if this could happen, says Solomon, who is currently working on HBO's Steven Soderbergh-directed limited series Mosaic. Mark's agent said, please don't say anything to the boy because I don't want to get his hopes up. And then literally less than 2 minutes later, Mark calls and said, I would love to. How about tomorrow? I started bawling, is what he said. The next day, Solomon and Sikora, along with Sikora's two sons, met up with Hamill for a portion of the day. Because of his state of mind, John could not differentiate between Hamill, the person, and Luke Skywalker, the character. The boy's short-term memory was at times fleeting. The actor handled it like a pro, Solomon and Sikora remember. Wow, this is heart-wrenching.
It is.
This is something else. Mark spoke to John simply and directly and with utter dignity, Solomon says. John would ask the same question 3 times in a row, and Mark would answer the same way every single time. Sikora adds, Mark was just super patient and kind. It was one of those beautiful experiences. It is very humbling, this disease. You've got to let go of your normal expectations and you and your kids' expectations for you and your kids and family. In the midst of struggle and tragedy, it was those points of connection that make you feel loved and less isolated. Mark was very kind. No rush. My time is your time. But there's a bit more to this story involving another Star Wars icon, the late Carrie Fisher. So Mark says, are there any final questions? And John asks, can I meet Princess Leia? And Joe and I looked at each other and winced and remembered Joe waving his arms to Mark like, you don't have to do this. And Mark said, I'll ask, Solomon remembers. And Mark called me later that day and said Princess Leia would be happy to meet John. I told her about the family. She got very emotional about the unfairness of things in life. And she said, I only have two questions, where and when. Unfortunately, John's situation started to deteriorate pretty quick after that. So we couldn't meet up with Carrie, but Carrie had agreed to do it. And that came through Mark. John died September 24, 2015. He was 23. Socorro says his son meeting Hamill is a day the family will always treasure. That's pretty cool. I'm kind of surprised it took this long for the news to get out.
Yeah. As I was reading this and it was started talking about Carrie Fisher, I was like, well, when did this actually happen? And then, of course.
Yeah, I was going to say, you don't have to do that. It's like, ooh, if it happened like last month, this isn't.
But when he was saying, you don't have to do that, I was like, wow, yeah, because maybe it's just, that would be awkward, you know, right.
That's where I thought it was going, but it was a couple of years ago.
See, what I love about this story is that it happened, and nobody really knew until the family finally brought it out. It wasn't like, you know, an immediate, it went viral kind of thing. It was just a heartfelt gesture on Mark's part to go and visit this kid, and nobody had to say it. Really said much about it until now. So I think that's really nice. And it says something about Mark's character.
Oh, absolutely. I mean,
his character, not Luke.
Yeah. You know, character.
Yeah. So I think that's pretty cool.
All right. Next story. Something that I can't afford for Christmas.
I know, right? I want one.
Not that actually, guy on the screen.
Yeah. So one of the most famous movie robots of all time just sold for $5.4 million. Maybe I'm having trouble saying $5.4 million. So long before robots like R2-D2 and the Terminator hit the silver screen, a 1956 movie called Forbidden Planet featured a humanoid automaton that in all likelihood blew your grandparents' minds. Sure did.
Grandparents, blew my mind.
Yeah, well, yeah, I remember. Anyway, so Robbie the robot might be a primitive by today's movie prop standards, but the three-piece costume is so iconic that it recently sold at Bonham's auction in New York for a staggering $5.375.000.
Those are commas, but you can't have a number with 2 points in it.
The magic number. No, $5,375,000. That's pretty amazing. The auction makes Robbie the Robot the second most expensive movie prop of all time, topped only by Marilyn Monroe's white dress from the 1955 film.
Let's put them together. Put Robbie in the white dress.
You know what? Then you couldn't afford nothing. You couldn't afford any of it.
Think of the investment opportunity. This rare, one of a kind.
Well, actually, look at it this way. I couldn't afford one or the other, so might as well put them together, right? So while a robot like Robbie would be realized today using an actor in a motion suit,
right?
Sophisticated CGI, in 1956, it was built by MGM's in-house prop shop from plastic, metal, rubber, and other futuristic-like components, like spinning gyroscopes and all that kind of stuff. Even some neon lights.
Ooh.
I bet that thing gets hot.
I was just thinking the same thing. This must be an oven in there.
You may imagine putting this on and walking down the Dragon Con parade. why is Robbie the robot not moving anymore?
Not for $5 million.
Chuck got cooked inside the unit. here you go. Five 12-volt DC motors kept Robbie's spinning features running and contributed to the costume's 120-pound weight.
Yeah.
120 pounds.
Yeah.
Wow. Carried by a strong stunt person who took many, many breaks, I'm sure, while shooting in a special rig, was even built to allow the performer to rest without having to completely remove the costume.
I'd love to see some of the outtake shots. Here's Robbie with his pants off.
Yeah. He's just got his top, the top part on. You know, I always thought that this robot had to have been built pretty well because, one, they reused it all the time. And I assume they didn't rebuild it all the time because you saw it in a lot of different movies over the years. Even it was on Lost in Space once that I remember.
Did he meet Robot the Robot from Lost in Space? Did they have like this robot on robot action?
Sort of. Yes, he was in there. I think they were, you know, I am a superior robot, you know, kind of thing. But anyway, I always thought this was iconic. And even B9 looks like this, you know, to a degree. Take his cues from this machine. So
wait, isn't B9 Data's brother?
That's B4.
That's right.
It is. That's right. It's B4.
Bingo. Bingo.
Yeah, I got it.
Shall we take a break?
What I was trying to say a moment ago is just looking at it, even when you see it in a movie or something like that.
Yeah.
It looks like it was built pretty well because it looked like a bunch of metal parts on it, you know, like the body and everything. So I can imagine that it held up pretty well over the years.
The reason why nobody cosplays this thing is too complex and heavy and hot.
Warning. All right.
Well, yeah, I'm warning. My body temperature is now in danger.
Internal temperature exceeding limits.
Human is now cooked to well done.
Please remove carbon-based life form out of...
Peel back foil and wait 10 minutes. Well, we've had that fun. Let's take a little break. Back in just a minute.
Let's do that.
With some more stuff. So hang on. Let's play the short one here. We'll be right back with, what do we got? Remember when? Media Corner? No, Media Corner. All right.
Hacks and Street Stories.
I'm not all here.
I have an avatar sitting to my right.
I have to run faster than Nedrig, I guess. I'm not promising anything. Yeah, a cardboard cutout might be more interesting than me tonight.
There is one diagnosis.
I have no idea.
Getting by a pig? Every year. There's a good crop of it.
Yes, me too. Oh, that would be cool.
Technorama will show up no matter how we feel.
Let's go.
This is Clinton from Comedy Forecast, and you're listening to Technorama. Shame on you.
Clinton say that, I chuckle. I can't help it.
that's one of our oldest clips we got here.
Yeah.
That was a long time ago. That was well over 10 years ago.
Yeah, because we're a 13-year-old podcast, almost.
we're entering the teenage angst years.
You know, I want to get a shirt that says, the 13-year-old podcast, almost.
I have a teenager podcast. No, that doesn't sound right at all.
My podcast has pimples. And a hormone problem.
I'm leaving that. No, let's move on, please, quick, before we get ourselves in some serious trouble.
Okay.
Let's go over to the hacks and strange stories. This isn't so much a hack or a strange story to me, but I think it's kind of cool. Not sure I'd buy one myself because it didn't look quite right. At last, there's a bottle opener that can open 6 beers all at once.
So when one at a time is not enough for you.
When you've got a party and you got to serve them fast, this is the way to go.
That's right.
I wasn't sure how this is going to work just from a leverage standpoint, that you know, the bottles will want to tip, but The guy in the video seems to open them pretty, as long as you leave them in the six-pack holder. If you just set them on the counter, they're going to go all over the place.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, it'd be hard to, it'd be hard to control.
Well, as soon as you lifted one or two, then the others would lift, but he pops all six of these things at once. What's better than an ice cold beer? Six of them. Or zero and a ginger ale instead if you have a problem. Enter the 6-over-1. A $22 bottle opener. Whew. Currently already funded in the GoGo campaign that can open an entire six-pack of bottles at once. Think of the seconds you'll save over the course of a lifetime, possibly even minutes.
You know, even at a big party, I don't know that you need to open beers that fast.
No. Well, because everybody wants something different anyway.
Well, yeah, I mean, you don't want a six-pack, and then somebody drinks out of this one, and somebody drinks out of, and you end up, you know, you always end up with one or two of this brand, one or two of this brand.
Well, yeah. The problem is you just buy one kind of beer and say, this is it, folks.
Yeah, this is it. My way or the highway.
Because I got to drink the leftovers anyway.
Yeah, I don't need to,
Do you do that when you host a party? Do you buy the beer you like in case there's leftovers?
Well, there really isn't a beer I don't like. So, yes, the answer to your question is yes.
No, you've got preferences when you go into the store.
I do.
I mean,
well,
would you buy a grapefruit beer?
No.
See? then you don't like all beers.
No. But, well, think of the times I came down to Dragon Con and I bought some beer before I came down.
Yes.
I didn't necessarily buy something. I usually get something I'm familiar with, and then I get something I'm not. Thinking,
surprise! And there's usually five of them by the time we leave Dragon Con. Five
a couple
left.
Of times that's that. Yeah.
Like, oh, well, it's going back with you, Craig.
Yeah, right. Well, and I take one for the team, of course. but yeah, I do try to mix it up. You know, I'll buy it. Even when for myself, I'll buy something I don't think I'm necessarily familiar with all the time. So I'm fine mixing it up. I don't care.
We have a question in the chat. It says, could you use this bottle opener on six-pack abs?
Yeah, I'll let you know.
No, I'm up to 12-pack abs myself.
Well.
doing the quarter barrel. All right, shout out to our chat room. Let's see what names we have in here tonight. This is the point of the show. Anthony Walla joined, Howard Weissman, Michelle Cook Lopez, aka Country Signs. She hasn't been here for years, but she says she's still subscribed and listening. Clinton's out there. Doug Schultze from work. We know Doug. Mm-hmm. Who else do we have? Ben Vaughn, longtime listener. John Miller Jr.
Tim Elliott. Yep.
Yeah, another long-term listener. Wow, we got some veterans here. Thank you for joining us. We do this show on Sunday nights at 9:30 Eastern Time. We'd love to see you there. If you subscribe follow our YouTube. No, subscribe to YouTube, but that's not going to tell you when we're live. Follow the Facebook page, right?
Yeah, actually follow our Facebook page and you'll know everything.
You get the alerts because that's where we are doing live now.
Right.
And unfortunately, Facebook has this thing that says, if you're streaming here, you can't stream anywhere else at the same time. Dumb idea.
It's ridiculous. Really?
Yet at work, I can do Twitch and YouTube at the same time. So, hey, same software too. But nope, their API and licensing is just that way. Stupid Facebook. But hey, that's where the people are. So we're going to go where you are.
Yeah.
Patrons, we don't have anything in a Remember When segment this week, but let's go on to our patrons. We have some awesome people who contribute regularly to us.
Yes.
We even now have a super patron, I think. He runs around in a cape.
Yeah. Hey, by the way,
yes,
I do want to say a special thank you to our patrons, because, you know, Patreon is stirring the pot and changing the way.
They change their fees.
They're actually reversing the fees to the listener, and I think
what?
So we get
So if we sign somebody up for a dollar, we get a dollar, and they have to pay what, like $1.25?
Yeah, we get like 95% of the whole thing, but then there's a percentage going back to the person, you know, the patron. So yeah, I'm not entirely sold on the whole process, and ooh, you know, there's people. You know, we have a little bit of money
in the middle.
We get a little bit of money, but yeah, there's some people that like on YouTube, some higher end. We're higher end. I'm saying some people that rely on salaries because they're making so much money off YouTube.
Yep.
This is screwing them because people go, oh, well, I don't need to pay that much. You know, they were looking to pay a dollar an episode and now they're paying dollar whatever.
And change. Yeah.
Which kind of sucks. So we'll see how this shakes out, but I just wanted to say thank you for sticking with us.
Definitely. Huge thank you to Abner Braverman, Ben Vaughn, Mike Wills, Leon, John Noble, Amy Bowen, Chris MC, Alexis Duran, Saturday Morning Media, Steve Therian, Kyle Nishioka, a.k.a. Mad Marv. He's our new superhero. I think upped his donations in lieu of what Patreon is doing.
I think he was doing a protest donation. I was like, yes, stick it to the man.
And of course, Jorgis Rowan, thank you very much to all of you. If you are interested in contributing, we would greatly appreciate it and give you a shout out and special content, because right after we record this, we record a special Patreon show where it's just open mic, open discussion, and we have a lot of fun. Go to patreon.com/technoramapodcast that you see on the screen right there.
Yeah, ding, ding.
I don't know if we've ever gotten to the end of this song before or
not. Right. Hey, I also want to say, I think all our Patreon shows have been in the walled garden just for the patrons. But I think maybe some of the older ones I'm going to let start creeping out. You know, some of the ones that have a little bit of more age on it. And so circulate those a little bit.
Some that have some content in them?
Yeah, and see if you're interested in helping us out. So I'll start floating that idea around and maybe make that a reality after the first of the year.
All right. Look for that, ladies and gentlemen. There is an RSS feed, and we can always bring that content back.
That means I got to make a task. Hold on a second. An action item.
I think we made it to the end of this song.
Wow.
That never happens before. I usually have to fade that out.
We'll try that again next time.
That's because we spent a lot of time talking about the new cost structure.
Yeah, I know.
Over to the media corner.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Hey, where can I find some good information about music and TV and videos and things?
Over here in the media corner.
This one struck me particularly funny because it's something that we used to do when we were in high school and glancing around the library and had nothing better to do. And some titles just sort of work by themselves, especially when you're a 14-year-old with the 14-year-old mind. And you look at a
like
book
me?
By a guy. Yeah. And you look at the book Hard Times by Studs Terkel. No subtitle needed there, folks. I'm just telling you. And then it turns out to be one of those classic books later. You go, I used to laugh at that title. I should probably read this one of these days. But somebody has added subtitles to books that, and we will mention a few of them here. They are kind of funny. The Quick and the Dead. And the subtitle is, there are only two types of people when a bear attacks.
Right.
You want to read one? Go take one.
Here you go. Fire from Heaven. The subtitle, My Dog's Account of 4th of July.
How to Torture Your Mind. Picking a Netflix movie for the whole family.
Yeah, right. There you go. May you be the mother of 100 sons. So the subtitle and other wordy insults.
I'm going to skip the next one. Oh, no. All right. A Ladder of Swords. The quote is, nobody's getting in this effing treehouse.
A Ladder of Swords? Ow! Okay. Can we do another one?
A couple more, yeah. Let's just do a couple more.
Okay, so 'tis pity she's a whore. Rap hits of the 17th century.
And of course, we can't leave without a fart joke. Explosion in a cathedral. Mom, stop scheduling taco night on Saturday. Which is funny.
Is there's a bunch more. So,
yeah.
That's pretty funny.
The age of Drake. Wikipedia says he's 30. Which is funny because on this day in history, we had something about Francis Drake. And he's more than 30.
Oh, yeah. Every man dies alone. A list of our nursing homes policies.
That's terrible. You can find these and other links to our shows, stuff that we talk about on this show, in our show notes. If you go over to chuckjatt.com/technorama, we will have it there for you as soon as we post this, which is what, usually Tuesday evening-ish, Tuesday night, U.S. times. Yeah. And then we will have it there for you. Alrighty.
By the way, John Miller Jr. was replying to one of those books. I don't know which one, but he said the last one has an alternative title, Booty Duty. Booty Duty.
Booty Duty.
I'm not sure which one he's talking about, but there you go.
Movie coming up, highly anticipated. Ready Player One is coming out. We've got a link to in the show notes to the official trailer number one. Did you watch the trailer?
See it? I did.
I watched it a 100 times so I could do some screenshots for you that Donna will put up on the screen in just a moment.
All right, I confess right now, yes. I am a trailer junkie. I'm a trailer junkie. I watch trailers for movies I won't even
sounds
see.
Sounds like you hang around the trailer parks, man.
I know. I should actually do a podcast called Trailer Junkie because I've seen trailers go, well, it looks half interesting. I probably won't ever see it, but I'm going to watch the trailer anyway and go, yeah, it's not too bad. And I pretty much get the gist of the movie. So I watch trailers for everything, even Star Wars. Even though I'm looking forward to seeing Star Wars, I watch the trailers. I know a lot of people that avoid the trailers, but
problem. Trailer junkie. We're going to start using that name now. What did you think of the Ready Player One trailer?
I thought it looked really good. Now, we had this smaller teaser that we've had for, a few months. Now, I forget exactly what time that came out, but this one just built on it. And you can see I saw all kinds of pop culture stuff. I mean, it looks like they're going to stuff all the pop culture stuff that they can because it was in the book. I mean, in the book, it had a ton in itself.
Yeah.
And this looks like it's going to have just as much. You know, I remember people saying when they planned the movie that there was going to be a nightmare, a licensing nightmare. And I'm sure it is because it looks like they're trying to put in as much as they can.
Well, you know, some bands and some brands could probably benefit from a resurgence.
Right. I saw Chucky.
The author of the game, the Oasis. I was sort of stunned at
Ernie Cline?
What's that? No,
Ernie Cline.
He wrote the book, the game. Like the author of the game, I was surprised how stiff they made that character. And I'm sure it's probably for a reason. I mean, he's supposed to be this programmer type.
Oh, you mean,
I have hidden an Easter egg inside of the game.
Yeah, I think there's a reason why it's like that.
Yeah, I'd be interested. The one that I was a little disappointed in, and I think it would have lent itself very well to the movie if they brought it over from the book, but they did not. The real life person who plays Artemis is when they're in the Oasis and Parzival starts noticing that Artemis is doing really well as well and sometimes better in certain situations. He goes, who's this Artemis person? And they spoiler alert, they meet up at the end. How much spoiler are we allowed to give on this?
I would tread a little lightly, but okay.
She doesn't want to meet up in real life for a very specific reason, and they didn't carry that reason over.
Oh, yeah.
When I saw the trailer and I saw who was playing Artemis, I went, okay, how are they going to do that at the end? Because that sort of loses the whole purpose of them not wanting to meet. When you see it, if you read the book, you'll see it and you'll know what I'm talking about. If you didn't, then I probably didn't ruin anything for you, but it's just, I don't know. What I did notice from all the little flashy is, there's like these cyber cops that are running around zapping people.
Right, it's on 101.
That's right. It jumps right out. It's like, oh, hey, yeah. It's a binary high five on all their faces. Maybe that's right. A tribute to us.
I would like to think so. Let's go with that.
I didn't get any licensing fees out of this.
Yeah. Wait a minute. Where's that license in person? You know, I saw a Mach 5 in there. Did you see that?
I did not see the Mach 5, but the software dude has a little, Simon memory game on his lapel. Oh, yeah. He's got a lapel pin on his.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. This is a frame by frame trailer if you want to get some fun out of this.
Oh man. The word that comes to mind when I was looking at all the scenes was dense. I mean, there's stuff everywhere. This is going to be one of those movies. You know, 2 years from now, you go, oh, that was in there. You know?
Yeah. Kind of like watching Deadpool over and over again. Cause you're.
Yeah.
I think the first time through, we're just going to have to focus on the story, then go watch it again and try and pull out all these little nuggets.
Yeah.
Otherwise, if you focus on the nuggets, you're going to miss the whole story.
Well, I think to your point about Artemis and all that, I have a feeling that the movie is going to differ in a lot of ways from the book, and I'm hoping it is, but it's still, I hope that it's still... what's the word I'm looking for? Not pays homage, but, I can't even think of my words. What I'm trying to say is I don't want to see the same story I read. I want to see something different that's true to the source material. There you go. That's what I was looking for, but different. So I'm hoping maybe if they don't use those things like you talked about, why she didn't want to meet him and, you know, but maybe there's other reasons and other things that happen. So
yeah, I get that books don't necessarily translate, but this one, as soon as I read it, it translated in my head. It was very visual. I said, wow, you can make a movie out of this pretty darn easily without any addition, without any major modifications to the screenplay. And I have seen somewhere they've taken some liberties. Unbroken was the one that just upset me so much I couldn't even finish the movie because they were skipping major parts that contributed to the story. And in the end, the whole ending that made it very emotional in the book was left out of the movie. I went, oh, forget it. I'm not even going to get that far. So
a good example. I'll tell you what, a good example is that where they did that kind of well, translating it to the movie was, I think The Martian. Cause the book was
you were going to say The Ring.
No,
when you said The Martian. Well.
Okay. No. I think they did it well, was because The Martian, the book, he has so many more problems and things to deal with, but they left just the right stuff out to be able to put it in a 2-hour movie and still be compelling. So, I think they did a great job with that. I'm hoping that, you know, seeing how they did that, maybe other movies will kind of take note. I mean, we're talking Steven Spielberg. It's not his first rodeo.
All right. Speaking of rodeos, which has nothing to do with the segue we're going to, okay. You went to see Brain Candy Live. First, explain what is Brain Candy Live, and then we can talk about what you thought of it, and I'll see if I have any questions.
Okay. Well, Brain Candy Live is a stage show, much like Mythbusters Live, where it had Adam Savage,
yes,
and Michael Stevens, who of the YouTube channel Vsauce, and he does. A YouTube Red series called Mindfield, which is very good and is right down your alley, Chuck, because I think you need to watch some of those. You would love Mindfield. Okay. So Michael Stevens does that by himself. Anyway, so the show is very science-centric, and there's Adam and Michael, and they trade off and do different things during the show, and they work together and really involve a lot of the audience. They bring a lot of people up and do experiments, you know, like blowing. They would try to do he brought a little girl from the audience and tried to build a hover. He had a hovercraft he had made with hair dryers, and he was going to let her ride on it. But he was explaining how a lot of it had to do with air and molecules and like steam and so on and so forth. So the whole show was very, like I said, it was almost like a magic show with science, in a sense. And,
okay.
And Adam did mention that one of the guys that helps put together the show has done magic shows in the past, so that's why it kind of has that little bit of a feel, and I think it works very well. So it was a lot of fun. Harrison and I went. It was, about two hours total stage time, and, of course, they take a intermission there in the middle. So, yeah, it was fantastic. I would definitely recommend this, especially if you have younger children or middle-aged, you know, early teens to mid-teens, they want to come and see some science stuff. It's well worth it.
I was looking at the show schedule. Interesting tour they have going on here. So,
not the first. They did earlier in the year. They did one tour, and then this is the second. They did it again. So that's why I think they're catching up on some places they did not go before.
Okay, that makes more sense, because I was noticing they're missing several major cities in here. Maybe they hit those on the first tour, because it goes from North Charleston, South Carolina on December 10th. Then they take a big break. Later in January, they come up in Australia, going from Perth to Adelaide to Melbourne to Sydney to Brisbane to Blue. Then they come back to Bloomington, Indiana in March. So it looks like they take another 6 weeks or so off. Then start touring around the U.S. March. Scranton, Pennsylvania, Brookville, New York, a lot of East Coast stuff. I looked for West Coast. There's no Phoenix. There's no San Diego, but they do.
I think they may have already been there.
They do so, Las Vegas. Yeah. Okay.
Well, yeah, I think they may have already been
they've
there.
They've got some that say played. Like, they played in Charlotte. They played in Akron. There's a few played dates at the bottom. So, well, if they're not coming to Phoenix, I'm probably not going to see them.
Yeah. So, I think they'd already been there. Anyway, they probably come back around. I don't know. But the show was worth it. I think it was a lot of fun. So definitely, there was definitely a lot. I'm trying to think. It was a varied age range of all the people that were there. Very, very families with small kids to teenagers and, you know, a lot of adults, of course. Fans of Adam Savage, of course, were there.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of thing. So he's a big draw. But yeah, it was really cool.
Did you go up and thank him for the interview he did in 2005?
No, but you know what I did? I did. Before we left the house, I thought, you know what? I'm just going to throw a tweet out there and see if, you know how things happen. You know, somebody throws a tweet out there and something really cool happens. I thought, okay, I'm going to say, I told Adam, I said, looking forward to seeing Brain Candy tonight. You were on my podcast back in 2005. I'd love to meet you sometime. That's all I said.
Yeah.
I didn't hear from him. I didn't hear from him.
Savage from Mythbusters, and you're listening to Technorama with Chuck and Craig.
Yeah. Still want to get him back on, though. That'd be a lot of fun.
Yeah. Talk about his new show, how we can help promote that. All righty. That brings us to the end of the show. We have one question before we go. If you were in a virtual world and had to pick a pop culture figure as your avatar, what would it be?
It'd be Alf. I would do Alf.
Well, you didn't say necessarily from the 80s, so you could be, you know, you could be Dwayne Johnson.
Yeah, you could.
You know, he's a pop culture icon.
I've always imagined you more as a Pikachu.
I don't even want to know where that came from.
I don't know.
You keep your... Thoughts like that to yourself. Don't just try not to laugh out loud here.
Okay. Well, there you go.
I'm not doing Pikachu. Yeah, I didn't even play Pokemon. Where did that come from? You got me all messed up now.
Somewhere back here in the back of my head, it just popped out.
Uh-huh. I don't know. Craig, remember when we had that discussion about stopping talking after a while?
What are you saying?
That brings us to the end of the show. We'll leave it on that note. If you want to get in touch with us, call the listener line at 707-530-2428. We'd love to hear from you. Haven't heard from a lot of you in a long time. It's time to call and make sure that listener line still works.
Yes. Please help us load test it.
Email technorama@chuckchat.com or leave us a comment on our Facebook page or Twitter or YouTube or wherever you find that social media stuff. If you don't know where to find it, go over to chuckchat.com/technorama. That's where you'll find the link to all of these and Patreon, other stuff. You can find us on iTunes and, you know, the usual places where you find podcasts. Thank you to everybody who joined us live tonight. It's been a lot of fun reading the comments as we go through the show and merging them into the show. Craig, give me a binary high five.
101.